Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello. You're listening to BFN. This is the podcast about infertility, IVF, and the trials of trying for a baby. I'm Emma.
And I'm Gabby, and we're both card-carrying members of the Infertility Club. A sore throat.
Oh no.
I know. And I don't think it's coronavirus.
You sound quite sexual and husky.
I know. I thought it might be good to bring this to the podcast.
Yeah.
You know what this sore throat might actually be good for.
I like it.
But yeah, I'm all right. I've had a nice weekend.
Cool.
Bit of pub, bit of friend.
Yeah, I saw you at the pub with your friend yesterday. I was like, what?
Yeah, I know. Well, we've got these two pubs like literally spitting distance from my new house that we haven't been in at all, of course. And so, yeah, now they've kind of opened and it's like, well, I'm just going to nip in.
So I saw your friend put on her stories that she was in this really cool pub. And I was like, oh my God, where are you? How come I'm not there? And it was like how come I'm not in the pub by the sea? And then the next story showed you. I was like, oh no, now she thinks I'm like really bitter about not being invited. It was more of a kind of general thing.
the rules are, we couldn't have done it.
No, you're right.
It's very annoying. This rule of six thing is quite... No.
Exclusive.
Exclusive, yes.
It is, yes.
Yeah. Lots of room for pissing people off.
Yeah. It's okay because I was with my friends yesterday. So
you were?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And you had a good time too?
We had a lovely time. We were in the garden all day. Although I'd like to complain, like lodge an official complaint about the weather, please.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Because we have had, like, we're very lucky living as we do in the Florida of England. We've had glorious sunshine recently, but it's just not been warm. And every time I look at my app, my like weather app, it says in 10 days it'll be 15 degrees, and then the 10th day approaches and it's not 15 degrees, it's like 10 degrees at most.
It's not warm, man. It's not warm.
It's so cold all the time. I just want to wear a floaty dress.
Yeah, well, I've just got dressed. I'm wearing a skirt without tights again. I just keep, you know, I'm like, if I build it, it'll come, hopefully.
Can I also just say that I'm on my 10th day of menstruating right now and I'm really over it.
Jesus H. Christ. I got a really bad period yesterday. Like, I don't usually get painful periods, but it really, like, I had to lie down. And that never happens to me.
Just absolutely fuck periods. I mean, I just want to, like, my body cannot conceive. Why am I going through this every month? I'm tempted to just go back on the pill and just, like, not have breaks.
Yeah.
But then... I don't think that's great.
It's not good for you.
Well, I don't know if it's not good for me so much as I just don't know if I've, like, it just doesn't make me feel great. And also, I tend to bleed when I'm on the pill, so.
I'm great on the pill. My skin is lovely. Like, I don't get hormonal. Everything is great, but also I just don't think it's good for you. I'm just like, I don't want to do that anymore. I've already done it for a long, long time.
I think it's good for certain times in your life. Like, I feel like, you know, when I was a teenage girl, it was great. Although, to be fair, I didn't really need it. But, you know.
You didn't know that at the time.
No, I didn't know that. But yeah, I just feel like these days, I mean, again, don't really need contraception, but I'm tired of menstruating.
Mm.
So, and obviously I am lucky to be menstruating because some people don't.
Yes.
But at the same time, I just have no need of it.
Same time, it can just fuck off, really.
Yeah. I'm glad of the benefits that come with it.
Good.
Like, you know, just being...
being healthy?
I want to say fertile, but no.
I mean, neither of those.
Yeah, being generally healthy. We could just do without the 10-day bleeds. Anyway, should we talk about this episode?
Let's. Got a good one.
Really excited. So first we're talking to Soph.
Yay, we're back on the Soph with Soph.
We're back on the Soph with Soph. And we're talking about having a break.
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, I've been editing it, our conversation, and I still don't believe that you can go on a TTC break. I just don't believe it's possible.
You mean mentally?
Yeah.
Not physically?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But I just think... I just think that, you know, do you remember when we were like teenage girls and used to read those magazines where it was like, I got pregnant by sitting on a toilet seat.
Mm-hmm.
I just think those kind of thoughts creep into your mind, even if you're not physically shagging.
Yeah, but I think it definitely, like the noise level on those kind of thoughts is way lower.
True.
You know what I mean? Like that's really like when you've really given yourself plenty of space to get to that crazy way of thinking, whereas normal life, you're kind of, those thoughts are probably, if you've not been shagging, they're not really that present, I don't think.
No, they are less present.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a good chat with Soph. I think a lot of people will
relate
to it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I certainly do. And and yeah, it's good to chat to her about it.
Absolutely. And then
dun dun dun,
talking to the one, the only, Wegan.
Yay. So that, in case you don't know, I mean, who doesn't know, but that's Whitney and Megan, who are a lesbian influencer power couple.
Yeah.
Who like live in a world of beautiful hues of like peach and beige and cream. And they're just so wafty and floaty and delicious. Do you not get that when you look at their Instagram? I'm just like, Jesus.
Wafty, floaty, and delicious. Those are absolutely accurate.
I feel like rose-tinted glasses is what you like. They must just, that's the world that they inhabit.
But while they do look wafty and floaty and delicious, they're also quite, as you said, powerful, because they launched a campaign,
It's the end of last year.
Fighting for same-sex couples to get the same IVF privileges on the NHS as heterosexual couples.
Mm. I think they, when they started investigating how to start a family, I think they got a bit of a shock about, the rules and regs that were governing their choices. And I think they make some very, very strong points. And it was good to chat to them about it, as well as talking about Hawaii and everything else.
There was quite a lot of like, what's it like to live in Hawaii?
Yeah. Can I just ask?
did you go to the beach and watch the sunset every night? And then we're talking about, so Professor Tim, we're talking about single versus double embryo.
This is such a big one.
Because
you know, it goes against everything. You just think twice the chance.
Yeah.
And It's just such a good question.
Yeah, absolutely. Other than that, have we got anything else to talk about? Buy our book.
Please pre-order our book.
Buy a t-shirt.
But mostly pre-order the book, I think.
Yes.
If we had one ask.
please buy our book. It's probably the most expensive of all the asks.
Yeah, it is expensive.
You can do all that on our website. So that's bigfatnegative.com.
It's not that expensive.
No, I mean, it's not. in the grand scheme of things. It's not like a palace.
No, it's not. But
it's more expensive than a coffee, but less expensive than a palace.
Yes, exactly. And it'll bring you joy. So, if you could do that, that would be great. Also, we haven't asked people to review the podcast. We've just got too many asks at the moment, haven't we?
Yeah, we do. And I feel like we're like draining people's resources. But yes, like obviously, if you like the podcast, we'd love it if you dropped us a review. Yeah. It does help other people to find the podcast.
It does indeed.
Yeah.
And if you've like, you can also do things that are really easy, such as follow us on Instagram if you don't already.
At Big Fat Negative.
Or follow us on Twitter.
At Big Fat Negative.
Or even follow us on Facebook.
Big Fat Negative, but we really don't post there.
We should stop saying that. But wouldn't bother going on Facebook. sorry to everyone who has, by the way, and feels like they may have wasted their time following us on Facebook. It's just too many socials.
Yeah, too many socials, not enough time.
Too many socials. But you could also email us.
BigFatNegativePodcast@gmail.com. That's probably the one we're best at.
Yes, we're really good at that. Mm-hmm. Also, if you are emailing us with a question for Liz, or actually just in general, if you want to get in touch with something for our wonderful agony aunt, Liz, mm-hmm. if you could email it, that would be good. And if you could subject line it, BFN agony aunt, that would help us to collate them.
Yes, and after all those instructions, we'll just let you enjoy the podcast.
Just enjoy, guys. Just enjoy.
See you on the flip side. Ms. Sophie.
Yeah.
Hello. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
It's a lovely... I was going to say it's Friday night. It's not. It's Friday night for me because I have Fridays off. Yeah, I'm drinking wine. Anyone else?
No. I've already had wine, though.
Does that count? I've finished the wine, and now I must drink the port.
I want the wine, the cheese, and the port.
Great. I mean, now I feel less cool.
Oh, well, you know, I mean, I just had a splash.
Drinking wine is cool. Don't worry.
I sometimes worry that
booze is cool, kids.
All the cool kids are doing it these days.
We quite often drink wine on this podcast, and when we're drinking wine, we mention that we're drinking wine, and that's because we usually record in the evening. Mm-hmm. I'm sometimes concerned that people think that we're like heavy drinkers.
I mean, they'd be correct in my case. But I was in a friend's garden. That's why I had some wine. Mm. It wasn't 11 o'clock this morning or anything. Don't worry.
Intervention morning wine time. Okay.
Wine's not a sin.
It's not a sin at all. And, you know, it's fine. But
sometimes dealing with this stuff, you might want a morning glass of wine. And if, dear listener, that's you, you know, that's fine.
Yeah.
Gabs and Emma are drinking wine too. Gabs finished hers by 9 a.m.
This podcast goes out at 6. So. I guess the question, Soph, is you all right?
Yeah, mate.
I am actually feeling quite good this week.
Hey,
that's cool. Good.
Yeah. I haven't been drinking much wine, which has probably helped my general well-being. God. It's so annoying when people say that, though, isn't it? Yeah. I'm drinking less and I feel really good. I think it's also the sun's out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ish in between batches of snow.
Yeah. I mean, it's still fucking cold, isn't it? I'm so cold. I just got so cross at how cold it was earlier.
Oh, I went out in a skirt with no tights on today.
Oh, that's really stupid.
It was not ready. Not ready.
No. I have got dry shoulders at the minute from
dry shoulders.
Which I've never had before in my life.
Oh my God. Are they itchy dry shoulders?
That's no, just... because the pool's just opened up, I've been swimming a couple of times this week, so I obviously haven't touched my shoulders in some time. I don't know why I would or wouldn't.
Swimming.
But yeah, I went to get changed. I was like, what the fuck? It's like there's an alligator on the top of my arms. But I think it's because it's been this deceptively cold weather. I've been cycling around thinking it's sunny, then actually it's freezing, and I've literally got chapped shoulders. So that's me.
Have you been wearing those cold shoulder tops? You know, the ones with the holes in the shoulders.
Not even. I thought you meant... I was like, no, I don't think I need a top to make my shoulders any colder. They're chapped enough already.
You had a topic, didn't you?
This
is a thematic podcast now.
Is this one called We Were on a Break?
The one where we were on a break. So I think I mentioned last time that me and Mr. Sophie have been, just trialing a break recently. We came to it because, to be honest, 2 years in, we were both just kind of exhausted. I think that with the added layer of lockdown, this January lockdown was pretty boring and intense. Yep. And we, you know, weren't getting on very well. And infertility on top of that is just a whole other layer of pressure. So we're like, let's just, let's just not try and force ourselves to do this month.
So you say you're on a break, but is it really possible to be on a break?
Well, you simply say, please don't insert your penis there this month.
No, really? So you're on a complete break.
Well, we're on a break from trying, but, you know, our only way of trying at the moment is the very conventional heteronormative way of having
presumably
sex.
You can have, like, no, I don't want to.
Yes,
know.
Obviously,
I don't want to there are.
Yeah, there's ways.
But presumably you're having
ways,
you're like,
but they're not safe, guys. But they are probably safe for everyone in our community.
But like, so
pulling out is probably safe for us. Yeah. But I wouldn't recommend it to young teenage girls.
So you're literally like, okay.
I mean, you sound shocked that they're not shagging. No. I am not shocked that you're not shagging. After that long of just constantly trying and shagging all the fucking time, I bet you're delighted to not be shagging. Like, what a glorious time off.
Well, the thing is, it does get to a stage where you're like, this isn't fun like it used to be. You know, this feels like a chore, and I don't like saying, we have to do it today. Mm. We have to. I know that you're really tired. I know you've had a really stressful day. I'm also really tired, and I'm still annoyed at you about that thing earlier. But you have to do this.
Unsheath your member
today. Yeah, I mean, that's not sexy. That kind of pressure is not sexy.
It's not.
And I've been thinking about it, you know. We are both cisgendered. He's a guy, I'm a woman. So everything I say is going to be very, very heteronormative, just kind of heads up on that. But, you know, if someone said to me, you must orgasm today, now, in this window of time, and you have to do it again the day after tomorrow, and then 2 days after that, and 2 days after that, you know, I would fucking hate that.
Yeah, it's quite intense.
Yeah, yeah. And I think we tend to think that for, you know, people with penises who are trying to do this, that it's just, oh, it's just mechanical, surely you like it. But actually, you know, it's quite a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure.
It's a total head fuck.
You're being very empathetic there.
I don't know. I don't know. Just thinking about I remember I literally just wanted the sperm. I didn't want my husband. And like, I think after a while he kind of knew that.
Aww.
And I think that, you know, I think when you're, it's not a turn on, is it?
No.
I don't think it's, I don't think it's a very nice feeling. And it's also not nice to, you know, to always be approaching in that way as well. You know, like obviously there's other times that we've had fun, but it does kind of suck the fun out of something that used to be like intensely fun. One of the most fun things, if not the most fun thing to do. You know, and it's just a lot of pressure. And actually taking a break has been really great for us. We're having such a good time. You know, at first it was a bit weird, but it's been really good for me because we returned to try again last month, but we took a break Jan, Feb. We are probably going to take a break again in the month ahead and maybe just try a bit of back and forth, on, off. I guess all
one
of
month
trying
on, one
is
month
on, off, on. Yes, off, on. Done. Because for my well-being, I mean, we all know what that cycle of hope and despair and how much can I let myself hope. It's really stupid to let myself hope this month. But if I don't hope at all, is my negative mindset going to banish any chance of it happening? Oh no, that's a terrible thing to think. Negativity is not going to stop this. But what if it has stopped it all this time? I should be positive. I should be hopeful. No, because if I hope, I'm going to be even more crushed. You know, it's just so exhausting to be thinking that the whole time. Yeah. And actually to have that completely removed, it's like, oh great, well, I can just kind of get on with thinking about other things and not have these boring, repetitive.
But do you not get little thoughts that creep in? I mean, I, as somebody who is fundamentally unable to conceive, I still get every time I have sex, I'm like, could be.
Yeah. But that's that's kind of the problem. I mean, it's.
But do you not get it? Like, even if you like are pulling out or whatever, do you not get this little thought creeping in? Like, oh, maybe one little spermie.
No, I mean, like I said, we just took a bit of a break from it.
Okay.
And it was good. And then we've started really kind of fancying each other again. And then it's like, oh no, we can't, you know, it's.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's quite nice. Then it becomes almost forbidden. You're like, maybe next month we'll get back.
And then the next time you have sex, you'll be like, oh, I was really enjoying sex that time. So that's probably the one.
Yeah. I mean, I remember I distinctly remember certain shags where I was like, oh my god, that was great fun, and look at where we are in this brilliant hotel in Japan. There's no way that hasn't worked. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're just like, I've got like a Rolodex of the great shags that I really thought were the ones.
Yeah,
shags I have had.
Shags I have been fooled by.
Yeah,
that's just
deceptively good shags.
Busted shags.
I don't believe you can ever be on a break, even if you're technically on a break. I don't think you can ever be on a break because I think it's still in your head. Like the minute you're like, oh, I'm actually really relaxed now, so maybe now would be a good time.
Yeah.
And then you spend the next 6 months being like, I was really relaxed at that point and I didn't try and I'm never going to forgive myself. Or is that just me?
No, well, obviously when we returned to trying, a few weeks ago, I was like, oh, well, obviously now we've had this break, that'll be it.
Yeah,
my head's been a bit solid.
I'll share the story of success with the BFN listeners. Guys, all you need to do is take a break and then just return. But no, 'twas not to be.
Oh, mate, sorry.
Well, no. I mean, I'm in exactly the same position I was. But it's been good. And we've also, you know, it's allowed me to think about other aspects of my health. Obviously, you know, you think about your health quite a lot anyway when you're trying, because you're constantly like, oh, maybe this is the thing, maybe that's the thing. But I haven't realized before how kind of self-destructive the tint to those thoughts is, like, oh, I should resolve this thing in my health, it's not good, that's probably the reason, oh, I failed, it's my fault, blah blah blah. Whereas actually with the fertility thing taken out the equation, even just for a short time, I'm like, well, I can just go for a run without worrying that, I was going to say worrying that my run's been too far. That hasn't really been the issue of late. It's definitely been doing not enough exercise, but definitely in previous times of my life in this journey, I've been like, maybe I shouldn't do exercise this number of times a week. Maybe that's too much.
The adrenaline, the cortisol, I fucked it.
Yeah.
Maybe I was pregnant and I fucked it.
Yeah. Maybe I've shaken out an implanted embryo by mistake, you know, like, oh God, maybe because I did exercise, you know, after having sex in the morning, all the sperm's fallen out, you know.
Can I just step in here and say that was a concern I have never had in my life?
What, that you've shaken your sperms out?
That I've somehow over-exercised. Oh my God. I had a lot of concerns, but over-exercise has never
been. It has been a concern of mine. Not that often, but it has. I've definitely had that freak out after a run.
I don't even exercise that much, but, you know, I used to cycle to and from work, which is, you know, an hour of light cycling a day, but then maybe do an hour in the gym in the morning, or, you know, half an hour run or something on top of that. And obviously, I think the point where you're exercising so much is, you know, I think it only really becomes an issue if you're like a professional, potentially yeah. Olympic level athlete.
Yeah.
But you do, I don't know, I've kind of worked through every conceivable, no pun intended, reason in my head. Mm. So again, taking a break has been like, oh, well, now I can just get on with that other stuff that I wanted to be thinking about. Like, mm-hmm. I want to eat a bit healthier, lose a little bit of weight. It doesn't matter if I'm on a diet, because that's not going to inhibit, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. For 2 years, maybe slightly self-indulgently, I've been like, well, it doesn't matter if I put on a couple of pounds, because I'm going to need them pretty yeah. soon.
Yeah, I'll need them. Yeah.
It'll all get covered up by my gigantic belly.
Unfortunately, I actually wrote a blog basically that was like, I'm either eating for two or I'm like comfort eating.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And now I'm just like, well, this is a good time to just get on with it. Eat healthier, do exercise. We're also doing a lot of exercise together, which we've never done before. So Mr. Sophie has just begun, well, not just begun, a couple of months ago, begun personal training. So we're kind of doing all these like workouts together.
Oh, that's so cute.
I know. And I think it's been quite a good kind of stand-in for other physical activity we might be getting sweaty together with. Uh-huh. And I've read something on the internet, which may or may not have any grain of truth in it, that when couples exercise together, it's quite a bonding experience. All those sweaty pheromones,
right? Just reminds you of sex,
shrouding you in.
We're like, the sex is fun and you're sweaty, but imagine if we were doing something else.
Yeah. Obviously, throughout all of this, the other thought in my mind is like, well, this definitely isn't going to work, because there's definitely one thing that we need to do to make a baby, and that is actually get some semen in me.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's a thing about, okay, should we continue? This feels good, but let's go back to it. So yeah, went back to it a bit. Obviously it hasn't worked, but I don't know. I'm kind of feeling a bit better about being slightly less pressured about having to do it all the time.
I was about to say, are you doing what the NHS says and having sex every other day, every week? Or are you kind of trying to isolate your fertile window and doing it then?
I'm not doing what the NHS says and doing it every other day of my life, because...
imagine how chafy that would be. Imagine the chafing. I'd be so uncomfortable.
I'm so in admiration of couples who can sustain that level. I think out of everyone I know, I've only got one pair of friends who are able to maintain that momentum. And I'm like, God, how, guys?
Yeah. Yeah, I have that pair of friends too.
No wonder you look so fucking happy and rosy cheeked the whole time. Yeah, I mean, God, I mean, we're 2.25 years in.
You would have infections.
It would be
constant cystitis.
I just needed to check, Sophie, because I wasn't sure. So I just had to make sure that you went.
Yeah. But again, it's one of those things that even talking about, I'm like, but am I kind of letting the side down? Is everyone else doing
often? No, God, no.
Is that why we're not pregnant yet?
Do you know what, listeners, can you please write in and let us know how often you're having just
really
to make us all feel better. Like, if anybody is doing it every other day, it's actually the NHS guidance is every 2 to 3 days, then let us know.
I was just going to say, do you know for sure that you're getting your fertile window correct? And that's a really stupid question, but...
I believe so. I'm using a combination of app/cycle tracking. Plus, thanks to one of your wonderful expert speakers, cervical mucus.
Old CM.
The old CM, yeah. So I'm pretty confident on that basis, but obviously tack a couple of days on either side to be on the safe side.
Yeah, fair enough.
And I'm very mindful of the fact that sperm potentially lives around 5 days, but your egg only for about 24 hours. Sorry, is egg a bit of a layperson's term?
No,
I should probably say.
That's what people call them.
Okay. It's definitely an egg, mate. It's definitely an egg. An egg is an egg. An earth is an earth.
I don't know how mythical I need to be here.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
but then the other thing is, you know, because the doctors and consultants are all like, well, make sure you do it every other day.
And you're like, yeah, of course we are.
Yeah. And then I'm like, am I cheating the system?
No.
But I also think they do that because they have to have quite a low bar for people knowing when they should be doing it. And I like to give you an example. When I first went to see my GP to talk about the fact that, you know, we've been doing it for a year, blah, blah, blah. I think we're infertile, I think we need tests. He was like, so just to check, are you doing it the normal way? And I was like,
you like notes up the bum?
Well, like, I was kind of thinking in my head, I didn't say this out loud, but I was like, does he mean missionary? Like, is
what
that
is
what's
normal?
Considered normal?
Yes, Jesus King.
Yeah. And then he was like, I was like, how do you mean? He was like, well, are you sure that you're doing it in the right way? I was like, what? I mean, I've had much practice in this arena. I'm pretty experienced. No, and he was like, well, it's just, we did have, I did recently speak to a couple, a man and a woman who I asked this question to, and they said, yeah. And the guy said, yeah, we just do it the same way every time. I just shag it for a bit and then pull out and do it, do my business on her tits.
No. No, I don't believe that. That's a lie. That's got to be a lie.
Seeps into her tits through the nipples and voila.
I don't believe that. That's
ridiculous. That's bona fide from the mouth of my GP.
That's hilarious.
But, I guess, particularly if you're maybe a bit younger or haven't read that much about it, but I suppose if you've watched a lot of...
pornography.
Yeah. Porn that features men shagging women, you'd probably think, well, that's the natural way to end things.
Yeah.
If not into the camera lens, straight on the titties. Well, we haven't been doing it that way.
Okay, great. Great.
Good to clarify that.
I'm good. I am very confident we've been putting it in the right place.
It's in the right hole.
Yeah. I'm really glad for you. I'm
happy. Me too.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about your tattoo now?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, I dropped that little bomb off air.
Off air.
Yeah, you can't do that to us or the listeners. Come on. Yeah. Get your tats out.
That's why I'm in a good mood today as well, because it's an exciting new thing I have done.
Where is it?
It's on my wrist.
What is it?
It is a kind of abstract pencil. Very abstract. You probably wouldn't tell what it is. The tattoo artist said, oh, right. I thought it was a candle. I was like, yeah, that's cool. That's what I want. I don't want anyone to know but me. It's basically just four lines, a kind of pencil slashed with an infinity symbol.
Okay.
And I've wanted it for ages. I designed it like 2 years ago. But obviously, you're not meant to get a tattoo if you're pregnant. So I kept thinking, oh, I better not, because what if?
You did it.
And now I'm just like, yeah, fuck it. I mean,
doing it.
I'm not. Yeah.
I love it.
Well done, mate. Can you send us a photo?
Yeah, can you?
Yes, but not today, because it's covered in kind of tattoo version cling film and tape.
Yeah.
I'll send you a nice picture in 2 weeks' time.
What does it symbolise?
It's kind of a little note to set. I love the fact I've done this abstract symbol so that it's totally mysterious to everyone else but me, but now I'm broadcasting it freely.
Sorry.
No, it's totally fine. It's totally fine. It is because everything that I love doing is about kind of writing or drawing or imagery. Mm. You know, my work is background as a journalist now in communications. My two of my main interests outside of work for myself that also are part of my work is writing, drawing, creating. And it's a kind of little daily reminder to do something like that very often, if not daily, because I'm going to see it every day. And now I have to live up to it and keep doing all that stuff because it's there every day. And also more recently, although I have been thinking about it, getting it way before I started even trying for baby, it's kind of imbued with this other meaning, which is there are other ways for me to pass something on to future generations. I'm not saying that anything I write or have drawn is going to be remembered for centuries. But I just think, you know, there's other ways to create impact in the world other than having a family and passing down your experiences and knowledge and maybe even wisdom to the next generation. You know, I hope I can create some positive impact through my life, through the work I do and the stuff I create, and you know sharing that with a limited number of other people to bring them joy or comfort.
And that kind of wisdom is why we wanted you on the show.
That was beautiful.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And also what was quite funny is when I was leaving, the guy was like, oh, we were getting on really well. He was a really nice dude. Shout out Storyville Tattoo in Dulwich. It's absolutely great. But yeah, the guy was like, oh, so what are your plans this evening? I was like, oh, well, actually, I'm recording a podcast. And then him and the other tattoo artist and the woman that was being tattooed were like, oh, cool. What's it about? I was like, infertility. And they're like, you know, that kind of, just keep my smile exactly where it was 3 seconds ago so you can't detect anything on my face.
I can detect
it, guys. You've slightly stiffened and I know why. And I was like, don't worry, everyone asks, like, that and blah blah blah. I was like, 1 in 7 people who try are going to experience this, and we've got to talk about it. You know,
look at you spreading the good word. It's funny. It took me ages to learn to say what my podcast was about without following up with, I mean, it's a bit niche. You know, it's not for everyone. But yeah, it's fine with me. You know, because you feel like you have to kind of respond to their face. You know,
yeah. With something.
Does that mean I'm weird? Because I just say infertility and then I look them dead in the eyes.
No, but you're great. You're both great at it. And I think, you know, even when I wrote the newsletter for you, you know, I felt a bit weird about, like, am I going to acknowledge this publicly in any way? No. And then, you know, I just think, actually, I reflected on that and I was like, well, we shouldn't be ashamed of being infertile. Like, it's not our fucking fault. Mm-hmm. There shouldn't be any shame about it. And there's a kind of weird cultural hangover that somehow it is the people who are experiencing it fault. And, you know,
it's your fault for making other people uncomfortable. So why are you making other people uncomfortable with your conversations about infertility kind of thing? It's like, well, actually, no, that's not how it should be.
But I think also there's something that's a cultural hangover from an age, and obviously it's not just women who get pregnant. It's certainly not just women who experience infertility, but I think there's something, you know, from previous centuries and previous generations that sees this as women are to blame. You know, there's something distinctly anti-feminist.
The Hilary Mantel books are amazing. They're like the Wolf Hall books. Because they're just like, it's full of women that can't conceive. Like, it's, you know, it's part of why Henry VIII was so mental. And it's just like, just absolute constant blame on these poor women who just like end up dying or being beheaded because they can't conceive. And then there's somebody in France who like has a phantom pregnancy, which is a real phenomenon back then. And it's just all the woman's fault and they're, you know, there's something wrong with them.
Yeah.
But it's really...
No one's looking at the common denominator.
No.
Henry, eh?
Henry and his dodgy days. But yeah, it's really... It's quite, like, stark. And when you're going through it and reading it, it's very uncomfortable. But it tells you a lot explains a lot.
I'm really glad to know that, because I will totally admit that I started Wolfhall. I got about 50 pages in thinking, God, this is great. I'm definitely going to speed through this. And then just got a bit overwhelmed by the hundreds of remaining pages. Mm-hmm. Yes, but actually, that's a very good reason to return to it. And
if you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I will start by saying, I don't know whether to address you as Wegan or Whitney and Megan.
That is, yep, you can address us either way. I mean, people do call us Wegan. I'm glad you pronounced it correctly, because some people think it's Wegan or Wegan.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, ah, it's all good. No. But we are Whitney and Megan, technically.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, hi, Whitney and Megan.
Hello.
Okay, Wegan. Thank you for joining us.
Welcome.
What a pleasure to have you on. Like, I feel like you're adding a touch of glamour.
Oh, 100%. That's so kind of you. Thank you.
So sweet.
Thank you.
I feel deeply unglamorous.
Yeah.
Like, as you guys know, we begin every episode by asking you guys to tell us about your journey.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, sure. So I'm Whitney, the American accent.
Hi, Whitney.
Hello. And Megan and I have been together going on 13 years. So, you know, we naturally felt like, even though we love our fur babies dearly, that it was time to expand to human babies. So we started the process last year, you know, 2020. We thought it was going to be our year, but we had no idea what was in store for 2020 in general.
It was no one's year, was it? It was Mr. Amazon's year.
Yeah, oh,
absolutely.
Yeah,
exactly.
Totally. So apart from, you know, that alone, it turned out not to be our year, but we also found out when we were doing a campaign with a company in America, we found out that home insemination from sperm banks shipped to your home has been illegal in the UK since 2005. So essentially, so that was just the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just started going down the rabbit hole of a lot of other injustices, you know, that we found across the entire sector.
Exactly. Yeah. So for us, obviously, we're just trying to figure out what our journey is. And then we found out that, you know, obviously we have to go to a fertility clinic in order to have treatment, because they won't obviously ship the sperm to the home. So that was kind of sad, because we wanted to do it at home. And then obviously we found out that actually most CCGs require same-sex couples to do 6 rounds of IUI self-funded before they might give them like one free round of IVF, obviously depending on your area. Mm-hmm. And my sister, who is straight, had been going through IVF, so I knew like firsthand like obviously how hard it can be, but also the requirements placed on straight couples is 2 years unprotected sex. So immediately I was like, well, there's just a huge financial barrier they're putting on same-sex couples in order to access the exact same treatment. So that was something that just really shocked us. And then we had a lot of our followers reach out, say that's basically the reason why they financially have not been able to afford to create a family. You know, maybe they've been able to do 3 rounds of IUI and there's an issue, but they won't get IVF until they've done 6. So And we've had some followers be told, like, literally, if you were straight, you would have got the funding, because you're gay, you're going to have to keep paying for it. And it's just mind-blowing that is what's in place.
So just to put it in context, IUI is in this country, it's about 500 quid a go, isn't it? So that's, you're looking at $3,000.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, well, I think most of the ones we looked at, they're about $1,000 for IUI.
Really?
And, but also sperm. If you are buying it from the sperm bank, it's about like over $1,000 per vial, which is like 0.5 milliliters of sperm. So you look, that's one go, effectively, apparently. So obviously you don't know how many rounds it's going to take you, but if you have to buy six rounds, then you're looking at least...
Or siblings as well.
6K, and then, when you want siblings. So, it was quite a journey to figure out how many vials of sperm to buy and put on ice and how long to reserve them for.
Because there's little fees with all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So it came out to be around 10 to 30 grand.
Jesus.
That people have to pay. Yeah, exactly. And then on top of that, we found out that because there is this, obviously, this barrier on getting sperm from sperm banks to your home, so obviously you get medically screened sperm, people are having to turn to like Facebook to find donors and men supposedly kindly offering, free sperm with no strings attached, but you don't know
where it's coming from.
You don't know where it's come from. You don't know who they are. And also, even if you have a contract drawn up, it doesn't actually legally hold up in court. Mm.
Does it not?
No, it doesn't, unfortunately. Yeah.
I was going to say, have you heard of much of that going on? Because...
we have. And that's really just so disheartening and scary because obviously people think, oh, it's fine, I'm protected because we've got this contract. Yeah. But to think that it actually wouldn't actually stand up in court is really petrifying.
You can see why people would go down that route because it's sperm is there's a lot of it around, it's free usually, so why not just get it off someone you've never met before over the internet. But
backstreet jizz.
Yeah, backstreet jizz. All right, but,
that's a new song.
You're blocking access to safe and screened sperm, which is the issue here, isn't it?
It's really
fucking unfair.
Exactly. And a lot of these men sometimes, they know these women are very vulnerable and that, they want to expand their family and they prey on that. And we've heard stories, that women essentially get, raped sometimes, for the sake of having a child. And when we heard that and stories like that, it's just
even a top fertility doctor told us that she knows that that's happened to women, so she was like really behind our campaign. So it's just shocking, really, that is what is happening, that's what people are being forced into,
which is going to cause more issues in terms of costing the NHS money anyway, with all the issues that it can actually cause in retrospect, if that makes sense.
I'm interested, because obviously I'd love to know how the campaign went, how it's going, but also have you had answers from is it the HFEA that regulate that as to why they think that's not a safe option to have it sent to your home?
Yeah, I think we have found out before, and their basic thing is that it gives you more rights because you're protected because you've bought sperm from a sperm bank. But I think, that's exactly the same thing if it gets shipped to your home because there's a record of that. Equally, if you're married, you're already protected anyway. There's like parent one and two. So honestly, I think it's just a way to make money. That's all there is to it.
It's funny when you compare this with, last series we spoke to someone in the US, in Seattle, who was in a queer couple, and they had been doing basically their own insemination, I think in the back of a car in a car park, as I recall, using sperm from their friend. But I don't think it was... it's obviously a bit awkward, but I don't think it was legally problematic at all.
No, I think it's very different in America.
Yeah, very different.
I mean, obviously, you can use your friend's sperm over here or relative, whoever, if you know someone. But what's crazy is they actually, NHS won't accept that you've been trying with home insemination. So say if we had a friend, we wanted to use the sperm and we tried for 2 years, they actually wouldn't even accept that as proof. We'd still have to fund six rounds of IUI before they would give free IVF, which just makes no sense because surely it's exactly the same thing.
God, how annoying.
Mental.
And so what has anything, have you, how's it all going? Has anything happened?
I mean, obviously it launched really well. We were featured exclusively in the Sunday Times, and Channel 4 News and ITV News also promoted it. We won there, and Refinery 29. So we got really great press around it. And we're over 5,000 signatures. So whilst it's still great, we're not quite where we need to be because we need to be at least 10,000 in order to take it to government. So we just hope that we can keep creating awareness and hopefully get some more signatures. Yeah. So please do sign if you're listening.
Indeed, exactly. Everyone listening is going to go and sign, obviously.
Yay.
So where can we find it, guys?
It's on change.org/fertility equality.
Lovely. Okay, can we talk about you now? You guys. When did Whitney and Megan become Wegan?
Oh, good question. well, we met in person in 2008, but Whitney has a little story about how we met technically.
Well, I'll really call it a divine intervention. I've always had an obsession with the British accent since I was a child. I'm from the South originally. And I mean, obsessed with the Spice Girls. And I was like, oh, just in love with that accent.
Same.
Oh, amazing, amazing. So when I was in college, I went to university in Hawaii. And I was home for Christmas break in Kentucky. And I was super jet lagged. And I was like, man, I wonder how British girls just differ from American girls. Because I didn't really know anyone from England at that point. So, I mean, this is 2006. So, as you do, MySpace was like the number one social networking site.
Mm. I remember it well.
Yes, those were the days.
Those were.
So I was jet lagged and I thought I would actually just Google like British zip code. And all these letters came up and I was like, this is weird. But I went with it because then I figured out postcode. They're just a bit different than ours. Mm-hmm. So the first one that Google or Yahoo, whatever it was back then, gave me, I put into MySpace and I hit search and Megan was on the first page.
No way.
Oh my God. That's so bizarre.
It is so wild, like upon reflection. And there's so many postcodes in the UK, you know, like every street has their own. We're in the States, it's like a whole area. It's way more, the areas are, you know, greater. So the odds of actually getting Megan's exact postcode was crazy. Mm-hmm.
And I did accept when she added me as a friend as well.
And then what? So you just talked over MySpace? And then
So we talked over MySpace. But apparently I didn't get back to her like as quickly as she wanted because I was like, oh, this girl's cute, but she's in Hawaii. Obviously never going to meet. Whereas she was like, oh my God, she's British. I'm obsessed. And then it wasn't until about maybe half a year before we met that she told me she was coming to study abroad in London. So then I was like, oh,
not because of Megan, but just to scratch that itch, you know, okay, of like fulfilling my childhood.
Of course, yeah. Not because of Megan, obviously. No, obviously.
To find the Spice Girls.
Yeah, go on to look for the Spice Girls.
So yeah, we met in 2008 and basically got together that weekend, and 2 weeks later we were official. So and I think it was during that period that Whitney's fellow Americans who also were studying abroad coined us Wegan. One of them just said, called us Wegan, and that was it. It was done.
That's amazing.
Where Wegan began. And then we did 4 years of long distance from Hawaii to the UK.
That's not so fun.
Which wasn't great, but we bridged the gaps of geography, and I've lived here now almost a decade. So.
Okay.
Wow. Before we move on, because I want to ask you about all of the things that you've started, because you are both entrepreneurs and your output is quite amazing. do you want to just let us know where you're at with the fertility journey? Because
That's a good question where we're at. So basically, towards the end of last year, I've had all the checks done, had the lovely high cozy, you know, getting the tubes tested, which was horrendous. We had the counselling appointment that was mandatory for us, which is also nice. So we're all kind of like, we've had our AMH levels ready. So we're all kind of ready to rock and roll. But
we've also purchased sperm.
We purchased sperm, exactly. Yeah, we're good. But
that's an important step.
There's a lot to unpack
there. There's a lot. Yeah, we've basically like taken like every step possible apart from actually doing the first IUI. So we thought it might be the beginning of this year, but had a couple of like health issues, and nothing serious, but ones that kind of you need to get a bit sorted so I can be healthier to carry, if that makes sense. So we are waiting and seeing as to when it might begin.
Can I ask a terrible straight girl question?
Yeah,
sure. How did you decide which one of you is going to carry?
Well, Megan's going to go first, we decided, because she's a year older. Not that that really has anything to do with it as such, but I just want to, I mean, as much as I can't wait to have a child, I'm actually mortified of carrying.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm going to see how Megan gets on before I go for
Fair enough.
I mean, round two. Equally, I'm not sure I can deal with Whitney being pregnant because she's just not the best, like, patient.
Like, and even her mum's like, oh, I don't know, Megan, I think you should carry. I think you should carry twice. But
we bought this is a much sperm. Safer option for everyone.
Yeah. Like, yeah. We all got to look after it, you know.
I mean, in theory, what we have said, and hopefully still will happen if I can woman up and carry, is, you know, Megan's going to go first, and then a couple years later, we'll go round two. And we bought enough sperm so our children can be siblings. And then okay.
That's what we're hoping. But obviously, we know from everyone out there that things don't go to plan, so we have absolutely no idea what exactly the journey is ahead for us.
My god, see how it goes.
Realistic but hopeful, and we're willing to go with the flow, and if that makes sense, like, I mean, roll with the punches, the good, the bad, the ugly. I mean, with Megan's sister, I mean, we saw everything she went through, and it was, you know, it broke our hearts a lot as well, and it gave us such an understanding of what the journey can be. But she just had a little boy as well, and he's adorable.
Oh,
and we love our nephew, so we know that it was a good thing for her. But we're just realistic as well, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm interested to know, did you guys go, where did you go for the sperm? Because a lot of people here go to Denmark.
We did indeed go to Denmark. Yeah, we started looking at, it's the place to be. We did actually start looking at clinics in the UK, and then we quickly realised that there's not many sperm donors, but equally there's no information. We didn't like the fact that we couldn't see baby photos or adult photos or just anything.
I mean, you're just going by a few sentences.
Like, they literally tell you it's like blue eyes and blonde hair. I'm like, well, that's not, no, can't base it on that. So yeah, we looked at different sperm banks, and we actually partnered up with Cryos International because we found them to be awesome. And we're really pleased with, you know, the fact that we could see the baby photos and the adult photos, hear their voice. And also they write a letter to, like, you, but also that your future child, explaining as to why they want to be a sperm donor. And the donor that we picked, like, basically it was almost the letter that actually, like, chose him for us, if that makes sense.
So we got an email this week from a person who is in a heterosexual couple and has been told they'll have to use a sperm donor, and was just feeling so kind of overwhelmed by the idea of having to find a sperm donor. And like, what were your kind of steps, or what was the process of finding one?
It is overwhelming. Like, we thought at first it might be exciting, but actually it is a bit more overwhelming than exciting, and it just feels a little bit weird. I mean, it'll probably feel weird for different couples for different reasons, but for us, obviously, we decided that basically we wanted to try and find a sperm donor that would be as close to sort of Whitney's features and my features, so in the sense that potentially the child might look like it's related to us, hopefully, but obviously they can turn out completely different. So that's kind of what we started the basis on, looking for, like, hair color and eye color and that kind of thing, and then
health is
down
well,
to, like, yeah, then background. We check the medical and the health. I mean, Cryos International, I mean, pretty much I think all of theirs are always medically screened to the point that they're all going to be healthy anyway.
What was the percentage they accepted of people who actually,
like 5-10% of people who apply, they actually accept, I think. So
really,
so it's quality as well.
It's literally the creme de la creme.
But it takes a lot, you know. We looked at so many, like, baby photos, and I will say it's worth getting the upgrade to adult photos. It's quite shocking how different they can turn out.
Cute babies, bad men.
I mean, beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Absolutely.
At the end of the day.
Of course. Yeah. It is. That's very true.
It is true. But, I mean, it's just nice to have a picture of, you know, but the genes your child may have later in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So, but I think, for a straight couple, you know, obviously they'd probably be looking for someone that looks similar to their husband.
To their partner. Yeah.
So, whereas for us, because we want it, because we're both going to carry, it's kind of difficult. We kind of need someone who looks in between of both of us, which is kind of strange.
That's an interesting point. Yeah.
So we felt the donor looks like Whitney as a baby, but when we actually saw the adult photo, he actually had more of my features. So that was quite interesting.
He was very handsome, and he literally looked like what I would imagine our son would look like if we did combine our genes, which was amazing. And then he had the letter, and then his voice, and all of these things about him were just amazing. And he seems like such a good person, and that's all very important as well.
It's mad that you can hear their voice. I didn't know that. What are they saying in the voice recording?
On Cryos International, at least, what they do in theirs is they read out the letter that they've written. So you can see their handwriting and see the letter, and then you can also listen to it as well. So
emotion, you know, a little bit. It can be. Definitely.
That's a bit emotion, well done. So okay,
You guys have got a social media agency, a dating app, a clothing line, a digital cookbook, and a beer. And there's probably more that I didn't spy. How do you find the time for all of this stuff? Where do you get the ideas from?
Oh, wow. Well, Whitney is the ideas person.
I'm the ideas person. And yeah. I have like ADHD, like literally to the, I mean, I've had it my whole entire life. And I just thought it disappeared when you got older and it doesn't. So thank goodness that I'm with Megan, who can actually like help me execute these ideas. And she's equally as excited as me. So yeah, without her, you know, I think she's the real.
Yeah, sometimes we're a bit jealous of people who just do like one thing. We're like, oh, wouldn't that be great? But no, we like to run multiple things at the same time.
I think we call it a portfolio career.
Yeah, yeah. I like that, exactly. But this, I mean, COVID, you know, definitely taught us, you know, you can't put all your eggs in one basket, and luckily we never did. So even though we actually, as social media like influencers, that side, we were actually mainly travel bloggers at that time. We'd gone to so many countries in, like the year before. But at the same time, we always had other, you know, I don't know, different verticals or whatever that we focused on, that we weren't just solely travel. So we were really grateful, because obviously we haven't been anywhere for a long time now.
Which is your favourite thing?
Oh,
that you've done.
Oh, goodness. I think ultimately it's probably the fact that we do get to be influencers as such, because when we started out, that wasn't a career that existed. We didn't know it could exist. And the reason we're online is because I put ourselves online to try and help lesbian visibility, basically, to show, you know, that lesbian couples exist. Because back then there really wasn't any, anything in the media. We've been online for over 10 years. So.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been a bit long. So I think that the fact that we're still going and still doing that, but also that it's turned into a career, is quite amazing, because that was definitely not something I would, if someone had told me about then, I would have just been like, what are you talking about? That's
crazy. I mean, exactly. I mean, I think the fact, though, that we can, we quit our 9-to-5s three and a half years ago, and we're able to work together side by side every day, I think is ultimately the most rewarding. It just gives us time as well, even though we're busy all the time. But what we do is our choice, if that makes sense.
I think that is amazing, though. Like, it should not be underestimated how amazing people who can work with their partners are. Because I just couldn't do it.
Hats off.
Yeah. I've been remarked on this podcast before that I would definitely be divorced by now.
That's hilarious.
I mean, we do have our fights like sisters. Mm-hmm. I mean, Megan did tell me to get an Uber home the other day after
that
Starbucks gift.
It's a true story.
But, you know, we make up. We actually laughed hysterically in bed about it that night. It was so funny.
They are really pathetic arguments to witness, it must be said.
Amazing. Can you tell us a bit more about the Femme Tribe? Because you've kind of started a campaign to get greater visibility for feminine lesbians. What is that about and why?
Oh, yeah. So quite a few years ago, actually, I started it to try and increase, like, femme visibility. Because, again, when this was around, there really wasn't hardly anyone else online that was out as feminine lesbians or LGBTQ plus women. So basically it's trying to challenge stereotypes and break them down, really, and to show that other femme LGBTQ plus women exist. Which is great, because that, I mean, I started that a few years ago and used to obviously like showcase different women. And then now we have Find Femmes, which is our dating website and community. So on Instagram, like, it has a really good community. And we've also just recently launched the Femme Edition, which is our online publication. So it's kind of like an extension of that. But it's where we get to share, you know, lots of like news and stuff like that, but also other experiences by other femme women of their of their lives, really. So yeah, it's great.
Oh, awesome. Well done. I mean, you must get this all the time, Whitney, but what was the best thing about living in Hawaii? Because those of us who haven't been there just think it must be the most amazing place in the world.
I mean, apart from like the amazing weather, which was, it was truly like paradise every single day. Like, you almost were like, oh, it rained, just to break it up a little bit. But I mean, everywhere you turned, it was stunning. Like, you couldn't escape location, if that makes sense. But what I really loved, and I didn't expect when I first went to Hawaii, was the diversity. I mean, because Hawaii is actually closer to East Asia than it is California. So there's a huge Asian influence, which was amazing. So the food there, if you can imagine, with like a Hawaiian twist, like Korean food, the best Vietnamese food, like, oh, to die for. It was so good. And I love just being around different cultures, because I was from Kentucky at this point. You know what I mean? I was just craving diversity. I was just so sick of where I was from. So I absolutely just loved, like, just you know, meeting different people from all over the world. That was really cool.
I love Hawaii. It's my favorite place.
And it also has this amazing spirit. They call it the Aloha spirit. It's just the kindness of the people, and it's like no other. It's just, it's lovely.
I always, is it just like sunsets on the beach every night? Because that's like what I think of.
It really is. Think of Hawaii. And the sunsets are incredible. And some people, I mean, I think like Oprah said, I mean, don't quote me if Oprah hears this, but I think she said it was like the closest thing to heaven she could ever imagine, because it is just like, wow.
And so other than Megan, what's your favourite thing about England?
My favourite thing actually is, I think in compared to a lot of other countries, like America, I think it really looks after its people in the important ways, if that makes sense, like the universal healthcare, paid time off, like, you know, you get 20, what is it, like minimum 20 days off a year,
plus eight bank holidays,
and you can get, you know, maternity leave, depending on, you know, at the end of the day, after your 12 months, you're still guaranteed a job no matter what, which is still lovely.
Which is not what it's like in America.
And just those basic human rights, I think, are just nice to know, if that makes sense.
But you love a cup of tea.
But I do love a good cup of tea. I think I've mastered a good way, you know, to make it finally, which is good.
when she first literally came over, like hadn't been here long, and she went to make me a cup of tea, and she got a tablespoon out and said, "How many sugars?" I was like, teaspoon, not a tablespoon.
It's taken a while, but I'm there. And I love a crumpet. Like,
God, crumpets are the best.
So much butter, you know, going in the little holes, and it just drips when you pick it up. That's great.
Dreamy.
Okay. You made me feel better about living in the UK.
I think
the UK is a great place. I mean, the weather's not great, but I think it's
It's not at the moment. It's freezing.
It is weird. Like, this time last year, I mean, we were sunbathing, so I don't know what's
going on. I put shorts on in April and didn't take them off till like October.
Yeah, I know. It was amazing.
Snowing. What the hell?
I mean, it snowed 2 days ago.
Absolutely insane. Guys, it's been so great to talk to you. So I guess one more question, and that is, like, what's next for you guys?
Oh, goodness. I guess the next thing for us is when Megan's body is, you know, gives us the okay, we're going to take the step to expand family, and, you know, might be doing some boring adult stuff, you know, like, you know, extending the house and doing that kind of thing, and hopefully maybe start doing a little bit more traveling as well before Megan's
we're hoping to do a bit of travel. That would be nice
Where's the first place you're gonna go?
As much as I would love to go somewhere exotic, I'm gonna go see my mom in the south. It's been a year and a half since I've seen her. Close. So it's been tough. So I'm excited to go, just to go see family at the end of the day. Yeah. But after that's all done and dusted, you know, maybe we'll go back to Hawaii, touch base there is maybe where we want to go next.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, thank you both.
It's been so fun talking to you.
Thank you for having us. You guys were great. We had such a good time.
Oh, good.
And keep us up to date with the campaign.
Definitely. And everyone is going to go and sign right now. Now it's time for
IVF.
What the F?
What the F? Talking about the single double.
Yeah.
Dilemma.
What do you do? If you've got two, what do you do?
Yes. So should I tell you about my last embryo transfer?
Please do.
I was having my embryo transferred about 3 weeks before my best friend gave birth to twins. And as I went into the room, the doctor or whoever it was, or the nurse, said, "Are you sure you don't want to?" And I said, "Yeah." Which is weird. And I think maybe she was just making conversation. Like, I don't know if that was a serious offer, because guys are very, because my clinic was very like anti-double embryo transfer. But as my friend was, I mean, obviously I was desperate to get pregnant, but as my friend was the size of like a few houses, like maybe an apartment block.
But really carrying it quite well, so for listening.
Yeah, obviously carrying it brilliantly, but also like in agony. I said, "No, I would like one, please."
Yes.
And I think it's very hard because there's, on one side, there's this whole like, well, I could just complete my family in one go and that's it. It's done.
Mm.
And that's wonderful. On the other hand, there's this, you know, multiple pregnancies are among the two like most dangerous side effects of IVF, the other one being OHSS.
Mm.
They're the two risks that are usually mentioned when you're talking about IVF. So, you know, it's very difficult.
It is. And that's why we were going to ask Professor Tim what he thinks. And obviously, if you're in that same quandary, it's worth talking to your clinic as well, obviously, to get your kind of choices as informed as possible.
And also just looking up the stats.
Mm.
Because and not just looking at the stats of like, you know, how many embryos implant, but also looking up like how many pregnancies fail when there are multiples and how many, you know, births are very difficult. Because, you know, all we think about when we're doing IVF is getting pregnant, but then looking towards the other end is important.
Yeah, absolutely.
So here's what Professor Tim has to say.
So we know that a fair proportion of embryos that are made either naturally or with IVF are not viable because they have the wrong number of chromosomes within. And that abnormality can come from the egg or the sperm. And as men and women get older, the proportion of their eggs and sperm that are chromosomally abnormal goes up. And that's the reason for the drop-off in fertility as people age. Because we can't tell whether embryos are chromosomally normal just by looking at them, the way you can try and improve success rates is to put back more embryos, just hoping that at least one of the ones you put back is chromosomally normal, implants, and goes on to live birth. And indeed, back in the 1980s and 90s, it was very common to put three or even more embryos back into a woman's uterus because you knew that the chance of each embryo implanting was very low, so therefore you would put more of them back. Now, over the years, it's been recognised that if clinics focus on better quality embryos by improving embryo culture and also by culturing embryos onto the blastocyst stage, then you can in fact get very good success rates by doing an elective single embryo transfer or ESET of a blastocyst. Also, with improved freezing or vitrification techniques, it means that if you put a single embryo back, that obviously gives you an extra embryo that's available for freezing. And so probably in most clinics now, around half of people having an embryo transfer will have spare embryos left over that are suitable for freezing. So normal practice now in the UK and most other countries, in fact, would be to aim to put a single good quality blastocyst back in a fresh cycle in a woman who's in her 30s or below. However, as women move into their later 30s and into their 40s, because the proportion of embryos that are chromosomally abnormal and are therefore non-viable increases, what you can do to try and improve success rate is to put back two embryos. The obvious downside of that is that potentially both embryos might implant, and we know that the risks of a twin pregnancy are higher for mother and babies. For women in their 20s and for most of their 30s, you don't really get much of a higher success rate by putting two embryos back rather than one. You really just bring that twin rate. And there have been a number of studies showing that if a woman has two embryos suitable, then your total chance of having a baby is the same whether you put them both back at the same time, because you might have two babies at once, or you put one back now, and if not pregnant, you come back in a month or two and have a frozen cycle and put the second one back then. And there's a bit of a saying about this. It's, of course, you know, have two babies, but have them one at a time. Fortunately, now in UK practice, it would be very, very unusual indeed to put three embryos back. It is legally allowed in women in their 40s, but I think very few clinics would actually be doing that because of the significant risk of triplets.
That's it.
That's a wrap. Hope you enjoyed it, guys.
Yes, we very much hope you enjoyed it. I don't know who we're talking to next week. Do you know?
I don't think we've decided because we've got, you know, we've got a number of interviews in the can, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. We've been working hard. So I will, you know, you'll find it's a mystery.
It's a mystery. It's a kind of unwrap the podcast Tuesday morning and get a surprise.
Absolutely.
Brilliant.
In the meantime, everybody have a lovely week.
Have a lovely week. Yeah, have a good one.
can everybody just do like a reverse rain dance where like it just gets a bit warmer?
Sundance. Let's do the sundance.
Yeah, but they're like the warmth dance because we've got sun.
Yeah, that's true. The sun is out. It's just not doing much.
It's just a bit insipid.
Bring on the sun. Okay. Have a great week, guys.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.